Blog Talk Radio.
That was your dad.
He was a very hard task. That's my father.
He was a hard taskmaster, and as a matter of fact, I tell people all the time that one day I was barefooted, priming the backer, and my dad is the backer field. And the next day, I was at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I had some boots on my feet. I slept in air conditioning for the very first time in my life, and I could drink all the milk I wanted for the first time in my life because my daddy didn't give me no break. He didn't give me no time off. In the back of field one day, in the military the next day, no break. That's how he was.
Sounds hard, but maybe the young people, the youth in today's age, maybe they need some of that.
Yeah, everything he did with
me. The successful, strong black man that you are now, and intelligent.
Absolutely. Now, the underlying theme of this book, in my opinion, since I wrote it, is that great things happen when a father, not a baby maker, but a father, speaks into the life of his children, and they listen and they obey, because that's what I attribute to my success. He would tell me things like this. He would say, boy, because that's what I thought my name was. He said, boy, you are becoming your company. Whoever you hanging around with, he said, that's what you becoming. And so when I became a second lieutenant, I started hanging around with first lieutenants, and I became one. And then I started hanging around with them captains and then majors and lieutenant colonels and colonels. Finally, I started hanging around with them generals, and I became one because that's what my daddy said.
The people you hang around, the people you deal with, associate with, that's who your daddy is. And
that's who you become. That's right. You start being influenced by them. Yeah. So he told me a lot of stuff like that. He said, boy, if you play now, you're going to have to pay later. But if you pay now, you can play later. So in addition to being a retired brigadier general in the North Carolina National Guard, in addition to being a banker at First Citizens Bank here in North Carolina, in addition to being the Commissioner of Juvenile Justice for the state of North Carolina, in addition to being an author of a book, I'm also an artist because now I'm drawing a check. If you play now, you can pay less.
You were also, you were also vice president of First Citizens Banking.
Kernersville. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you did a lot accomplished, and you're also a father, a husband.
Yes. I have three children, and I have a beautiful wife. That sharecropper that I speak about, the first time he saw my wife, I went out to visit him while I was in college, and he saw my wife for the first time, and he said, he pulled me over to the side of the house there under the carport, and he said, boy, if you smart, you hang on to that one right there. I'm glad I'm a smart man because I hung on to her. We've been married now for 31 years.
31 years.
Yeah, it's a good thing when a man finds a wife. You know, as I tell people all the time, right, I'm the head of my house, but my wife, she is the neck, and she can turn that head anytime she want to.
That's who got the power. I'm sorry.
That's who got the power, okay? Absolutely. But she's a wonderful woman. She's a wonderful mother, and she's a wonderful wife.
Okay. I believe that.
I would not be where I'm at today if it was not for her.
Yeah,
yes,
behind every strong man is a strong wife, a strong woman.
That's right.
Yes,
and I got one. Yes,
you got
I'm
one.
Proud of
you
it.
Got
too.
One. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, General Gorham, you're available to speak at events at schools, colleges, churches, youth organizations, business organizations, military organizations. Am I correct?
That's absolutely right. And if somebody wants me to come and speak, all they have to do is go to my website, www.generaljrgorham.com. You can order my book at that website, but you also can ask me to come and speak, fill out the form, and if I can fit it into my schedule, I will be there because I am in a covenant with God. And I said, God, whatever door you open for me, regardless of who or how many on the other side, I will step through the door and share with them what you placed on my heart. Will he keep opening up the doors and I keep a stepping?
Yes, sir. You also have another website. For those of you who are listening, he also has the website shareproperswisdom.com. It is.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure most you can, I know all of you can spell, but I'm going to spell it out anyway. For those of you who did not hear, get a pen and paper to write it down on a computer to write all this down the first time. It's share, S-H-A-R-E, propers, C-R-O-P-P-E-R-S, wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M.com. And I'll give you that website again before the show ends. One of my questions would have to be, my granddaddy was a sharecropper. He was
yes,
a sharecropper.
Ma'am.
My great granddaddy was a slave. They're from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
During that time era, your father and your grandfather had great wisdom. Great wisdom. They
yes,
told
ma'am.
You who you hang around is who you would become.
Right.
So that says a lot right there. Even during that time period, because during that time period, sharecropping broke a lot of men. It broke them.
You did. Did.
Yeah.
Sharecropping is a tough life. It is a tough life. In my opinion, sharecropping is just one step above slavery itself.
Yes, sir. You're right. You are completely right. So you also hold a master's degree in strategic studies from the U.S. Army War College.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was the second African-American in the North Carolina National Guard that was ever given the opportunity to go to that school. And it was a two-year course. It was one of those courses where I did it in distant learning on a computer. And so every night from 10 until 1 o'clock in the morning is when I would do my reading and my study, because at the same time I was working at the First Citizens Bank, and I was a battalion commander in the North Carolina National Guard. And you add school activities, civic organization, church, and then trying to spend a little time with your family. I was kind of like divorced from my family for about 3 years straight, because as soon as I finished war college, I got orders to go to Iraq. And so I was gone for another year over in Iraq. So basically, I was kind of like divorced from my family for about 3 years straight. Like my daddy said, you know, hey, you get paid now so you can play later. So I made the necessary sacrifices so that my family could benefit not only then, but they're benefiting now from it also.
Yes, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. And I've seen that. I just would like to say something from his wealth site, sharecropperswisdom.com, where you can also purchase his book for $24.99.
That's for the hardback in $16.99 for the paperback. And you even go there and download the ebook for $9.99. You know, in the military, they teach us the six P's: proper prior planning prevents poor performance. So I try to cover all the bases.
You have a strong work ethic.
Strong work ethic. I started working at the age of 10. You know, my daddy put me down between them two rows of tobacco at the age of 10, and he didn't let me up. Even when I got out of the military and came back home and went to the East Carolina University, which was 10 miles from my home, he told me that I could go to school, but I would have to pay my rent during the summer. So the 4 years that I was at East Carolina University, every summer I was in the tobacco field, priming tobacco, and trying to pay my rent for him allowing me to stay in the house while I went to school.
So did your family own the land?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. The land was owned by Mr. W.W. Wooten there in Falkland, and my daddy sharecropped for him all his life until the day he died.
So you talk about civil rights on your website, and I've also researched you, by the way. In North Carolina, you said there grew highly respected leaders in business, military, education, and civil rights. Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, there were several people in that little neighborhood that I come from. Falkland is population about 117, 116 now that I live in Kernersville. We've had two PhDs come out of that little town. They had a general come out of that town. We've had a couple of dentists and doctors come out of that town. And my sister, my third oldest sister by the name of Sarah, she, along with three other African-American girls, integrated the local high school there in Farmville, North Carolina. And what makes that so interesting, that the principal of that high school was my half-uncle. He was a white man, but he was my half-uncle. And there's a whole story to go behind that, and that's all in the book, too, because my grandma on my mother's side had 10 kids by this man, and he helped raise all 16 of her kids. And so there's a whole chapter almost devoted to that situation in my book. Interesting reading. The other thing I would say about my book while I'm on the air here is that I entered that book in the 2016 Global eBook Contest, and it won 2 silvers and 1 bronze. So somebody, I think, it's worth the papers written on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely, definitely worth reading. Those of you who have young men, young black men, or even young other nationality and races, could really benefit by purchasing this book. Having General Gorham speak at one of your schools.
Absolutely.
This gentleman has a lot of wisdom, a lot of intellect, and a lot of strength. He has 3 kids. So what I'm saying is he would be a plus for the young black men, teenagers, that talk, even at a college, at a church. Because, you know,
I've spoken in all of those places. I was a keynote speaker at my alma mater in 2010. At East Carolina University, I was a keynote speaker there in 2010.
Yes,
shortly after I became a general in the North Carolina National Guard. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. That's great. I was just saying that you're a strong role model, a very great role model for young black American young men, and also young men of any other race. I feel that's what's needed, because there's so much going wrong, so much bad, but yet you hardly ever see on TV the good things that are going on that the young black people are doing.
Yes, like I said, you know, when I said that about our men in our community in particular, and this is J.R. Gorham talking, okay? One of the problems that one of the major problems that we have in our community is the absence of black fathers in the family. We have a whole lot of black baby makers out there, but we have very few fathers. And, you know, the father is the one who gives their children their identity. And we have a whole generation of young African-American men in particular who are growing up, they're angry and they're bitter because they don't know who their daddy is, you know. And when you don't know who your father is, you don't know who you are, because the father is one who gives the children their identity. This is me speaking, okay? These are my opinions, okay? My thoughts and whatnot. And we need more of our young African-American men to grow up and be fathers and stop being baby makers and players. And all that kind of good stuff, and take the responsibility of raising their children up, because the Bible says that children are supposed to honor their mother and their father, and their days shall be long upon the earth. That is the first commandment with the promise. And when another problem we have is that our children that's growing up today, they're not honoring inside the house. And when you don't honor inside the house, you will not honor outside the house. And when you don't honor outside the house, you have two destinations. One, an early grave, or two, the criminal justice system. That's why we have so many of our black young men in the criminal justice system or leaving here prematurely because they never checked that block of honoring inside the house. My thoughts, my opinions.
I agree with you, the father. The father. Also, I have to say this in all honesty. You might not agree with me. The criminal justices, as you speak of, there have been well-publicized killings, which I don't believe this has ever stopped since our ancestors, our relatives, got off the slave ship. What do you think about these murders, honestly?
Honestly, I mean, I think a lot of them could be prevented. You know, I try to be very open and very honest, you know, and I use this as an analogy, right? You know, my kids very seldom get on my nerves, but your kids can get on my nerve in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying in the essence is when it's somebody that look like, act like, think like, you know, talk like you, you have a different tolerance level for them than somebody who don't look like, act like, talk like, think like you do. And so when we have these situations where we have officers and black young men coming together, a lot of times things get escalated because folks don't have the same tolerance level for people that don't look like them as they do for people who do look like them. And so I try to train my children, you know, to show authority to those in authority. And I tell my two sons that I have, I say, have you ever noticed me ever having a situation when a police officer stopped me? Because I give them the respect of the rank in which they hold. And it's always yes, sir, no, sir, and that kind of good stuff, because partly that's just the way I was raised. But I never have a problem with a police officer. You know, I give them respect. They wear the uniform. I wear a uniform. And when I was wearing that uniform, I received that kind of respect. They might not respect me as an individual, but they respect that uniform and that rank that I wore when I was a general in the North Carolina National Guard.
Yes. And
I don't know
my
if that quite answer your question, but that's my thoughts on it.
Yes, sir. I understand that they need to respect people more. Am I correct? Young people?
Yes. Yeah.
They need to show more respect to those who are trying, doing the best they can to raise them and to teach them the right way, and that the father is absent. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's true. A lot of fathers are absent, but there are still some great fathers out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of great fathers.
Michelle Obama
and
had a great father.
Yeah,
you can tell
and you don't necessarily
had a great father and mother.
Right, and you don't necessarily have to be the biological father to be the great father in a child's life, you know? You know, you could be a mentor. I mean, my high school coach, wrestling coach, you know, he's a white dude, right? He's almost like my second father, you know? So he helped me along the way. He encouraged me. He took time with me. He showed me that he cared and all those kinds of things that a biological father does. So it don't necessarily have to be a biological father, you know? It could be someone just having a good relationship with a child and being able to help and mentor, you know, where I did have the opportunity to mentor young men in high school, the first thing that I did was build a relationship with that child. And most of the children that I mentor were young African-American men in a single household with mama. And so after I built a relationship with the child, then I went and built a relationship with the mother and got to the point where she had a comfort level where she would allow me once a month to bring her child into my home so that he could see how I interact with my wife and how I interact with my children. Because for a lot of times, these kids have never seen that because there's no father in the house to demonstrate these things in front of them. You know, so I thought it was important when I mentored not only to go to school and read for an hour or talk for an hour and, or take them to the movie or to the zoo or the park or something like that, but I thought it was essential that I bring him into my house to see how I interact with my wife and how I interact with my children. You know, because sometimes you have to saw before you can see. Because I remember when I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to a diversity conference when I was in the military, and while I was there, for the first time in my military career, I saw a brigadier general in the National Guard that looked like me. And when I saw him, I started seeing me. Sometimes you got to saw before you can see.
All right. That makes plenty of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Makes a whole lot of sense, mm-hmm. everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your point of view about the criminal justice system.
And, yes, ma'am.
You know, there's a lady that has the fatherless generation in Georgia. Her name is, she's done the show two or three times. Perhaps one day, she's there in Atlanta, Georgia, and she talks about what it was like growing up fatherless as a little girl. She
mm-hmm.
talks about child molestation. And what she
right.
does is she unites children with their fathers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a criteria to uniting them, though, for them to be reunited with them on certain things.
Right.
You know. Maybe one day you and her could talk.
We'd love to do it. We'd love to do it.
Her name is Miss Tori, Dr. Tori J. Evans,
mm-hmm.
and she's married. So,
mm-hmm.
so she has another name added on to Evans. But that's what she does.
Mm.
She started out wanting to be a lawyer, a nurse, a doctor, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, she,
mm-hmm.
right, but she is taking care of children. In a
mm-hmm.
different way, of course. She's
mm-hmm.
also, I don't know if she's still doing it. If you go to Mr. Ricky Smiley's website, you will see her name, Dr. Tori J. Evans. She's married. Congratulations again,
okay.
Ms. Evans. I'm sorry
okay.
that I could not remember the last name, but maybe
mm-hmm.
you and her could talk if she wants to. That would be up to her, and that would be up to you.
Right.
But I'll call her on a work day and ask her.
Okay.
I think that,
okay.
I believe that would be great because what she does also, you took a young man home with you, with your family. She does something similar to that, but she does it more often. She lets
right, right.
young male and female young people, children,
mm-hmm.
see what a two-parent family looks like. So they can at least see
right.
what one looks
absolutely.
Like, even if they are in a single parent, even if they have a single parent, a grandmother, things like that. She lets them see what a two-parent family looks like, so they will know the what that is and what it looks
right.
like and what they can have also when they're grown.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. See, that sharecropper that I talk about when it comes
yes,
down
sir.
To marriage and relationships, this is what the sharecropper told me. He said, boy, when you find that gal that you think you want to spend the rest of your life with, he said, you think long and hard about that because from that one decision is going to come 90% of your happiness and 90% of your misery. And then he said, and when you find her, right, don't be so concerned about going to the shows and to the movies and going out to eat. He said, if you're smart, you'll try to spend as much time in the house in which she grew up in. And if it's possible to see how her mama treat her daddy and how her daddy treat her mama, because that's what her expectations of married life is. And if you don't understand them dynamics, you're going to have a hard road to hoe. And then he said, and when you find her and you decide that you're going to get married, right, he said, don't be concerned about the good part of the vows. He said, they'll take care of themselves. He said, but you need to know what worse look like. He said, because when you take them vows for better, that's all, that's a good part. But you need to know what worse look like, because it's going to show up, and you just can't walk away from it just because worse show up. People think about the good time, don't think about the bad time, right? He said, what does poor look like? What does sickness look like? Because all of that can show up, and you took a vow that you're going to be there through all of that. The problem with our folks today, when worse show up, they want to step away from the relationship. They don't have no stick-to-itness and stay in there and work it out between the two of you, you know, like the vows that most of us take these days, you know. And then the last thing he told me, and it just blew my mind, right?
Okay.
He said, when you get,
very smart,
and he said,
when,
yeah, and he said, and when you get married and you want to have a good marriage, he said, you don't have to do but two things. And I said, come on now, Daddy. Two things. He said, you don't have to do but two things. I said, well, enlighten me. I want to know what these two things I need to do to have a good marriage. He said, it's real simple, son. He said, number one, he said, don't go places that you can't take your family. If your family can't go there, you don't need to be there. And he said, number two, don't do things that your family can't do. If your family can't do it, you don't need to be doing it. He said, if you do them two things right there, you avoid 90% of the problems that married folks have. That is the wisdom of a seventh grade educated sharecropper that talked to me and showed me the way.
Yes, wisdom, intellect.
Yes, that's wisdom. Ain't no intellect in that. Ain't no intellect in that. That's just downright wisdom.
Yes, sir. Black men, I'm not giving a whole lot of credit for being great fathers and leaders. I'm not giving enough credit for that. I feel, because I know there are some great fathers. I have
Absolutely.
Great brothers. So they have a great father and mother. Yeah.
Yeah, we out there every day.
Yeah.
Now we're the unspoken heroes.
Yeah. I believe that too. These are unspoken heroes. Mothers contribute too. Mothers contribute a whole lot.
Well, I just tell you how it is. I just tell you how it is in my family, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
I said this boldly, right? In my house, I'm the head of my household, right? But
yes, sir.
My wife, she is the neck. And the neck can turn the head anytime she wants to. I say that kind of jokingly, but that's kind of how it works, you know what I'm saying? Because, see, here's the deal. God designed it that way, you see, because if you just got your head involved, if you're a married man and you got a family, and then you just involved with the vision for your family, okay, you can't see but so much if you just use the head. But when you get your neck involved, right, you can turn all the way to the left. You can turn all the way to the right, and you can see the whole picture then. You can see the whole vision for your family when you, as the head of the household, get your wife, who is the neck, involved with what's going on in the house. I think it's designed by God for the man to be the head of the household and the wife be the neck.
Yes, yes, that is so true. I'm still calling you General James Gorham. I don't know if you like that or not. I know you like to go by General J.R. Gorham, you know, but
just as long as you say General, because I work too hard for that title.
Yes, sir. Yes, I understand it. And once again, those of you who are listening, General Gorham, General James Gorham, once again, for those of you who just started listening, is the first black general of the North Carolina National Guard, the first one. He's also available to speak at churches, schools, universities. He's also spoken. He also has book signings. His website is sharecropperswisdom.com. It's SHARECROPPERSWISTOM.com. That's Sharecroppers Business's website. There you can find a lot of information about General Gorham. Sir, I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's your next?
Yes,
I have
ma'am.
Several more questions. Where's your next book signing?
My next
you have
book
one
signing. Yeah, I got one scheduled in Clemens, North Carolina, on Monday afternoon about 5:30 in Clemens, and then I'm going to be in Rayford, Carolina, on October the 6th doing a book signing there also. That's about as far as I can think on right now. I had to look at my schedule to come up with other ones and whatnot, but I try every day to do what a sharecropper do, and that's to go out and plant seeds in the minds and hearts of people. So the good book said one plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. The old Chinese proverb says that a wise man will plant trees under the shade that he would never sit. So that's what I try to do every day.
Yes, sir. I believe that, and I see that. Mm. Also, those of you, his book is the whole title is Sharecropper's Wisdom / Growing Today's Leaders the Old Fashioned Way. And when you order a book, it can be autographed.
Yes. If you go to the other website too, generaljrgorham.com, that's another website you could go to. And when you order a book from my website, I will autograph it, put a word of wisdom in there to you, and put it to you, send it to you in the mail. I have one request to the audience who might be listening today. When, I don't use that word if is a word of doubt. When is a word of confidence, because when you W-H-E-N, you W-I-N. When you win, you win. So when you order a book from my website, I have one request. And that is, once you have finished reading the book, if you know a young African-American male out there who might not have a father in his life, or female for that matter, please share this book with them, because I'm sure there's something in there that could really help change their whole life if they get in there and start reading that book. It's just that powerful.
Just that powerful. I believe that, because I've read some of it. Haven't finished it completely. It says he's available at any civic, military, professional, or religious organization where he's available to speak at. And I think it would be very, very much worthwhile to contact him through his website and see if you can get him to speak at one of those organizations. So, Vice President of a bank, you did it simultaneously as also being a general of the North Carolina National Guard Army, and you were Vice President of Citizens Bank in Kernersville.
Yes,
am
ma'am.
I right?
Yes, ma'am. Vice
how
President
you
of First Citizens.
First Citizens Bank, yes, sir.
All I ever known was hard work, you know, and so when I get involved with something, I put everything I can into it, and I try to be the best that I can be. One thing that I always try to do in my professions is to make sure I give a honest day's work for an honest day's salary, you know, and I try to build rapport with my customers and credibility with whoever I deal with, because one last piece of wisdom that the sharecropper shared with me, he would tell me, he would say, boy, your word is one thing that you give and you keep at the same time. He said, there's not many things in this life that you can give and keep at the same time. But he said, your word is. So when you give your word, you make sure you keep it, because somebody is always eating off your tree. So you make sure that you always producing good fruit. He said, if you give your word and you keep your word, you walk in integrity. And when you walk in integrity, he said, success will come after you. And it did.
Yes.
So I just wanted to throw that in there, too.
Okay. You also Now, young people, listen to this. This is not bragging. This is not bragging. Okay, just listen. At the age of 14, this freshman, he was a freshman. He won the election to serve as vice president of the Farmville High School. And he stayed involved in student government. And at the age of 18, he joined the United States Army and later the North Carolina National Guard. Now, young people, I know it seems impossible sometimes, but nothing is impossible with God.
That's right.
This is not someone that's bragging. This is a black man that's really did great things with his life and can be a great influence on you. So I hope some of you will let the younger people listen to this show. Because the news media does not always show black men in a positive light.
That's correct.
From what I can tell, you see them killed, being taken prisoner, which is horrible when fathers are gunned down for selling cigars. Michael Brown Jr. It's still horrible. Regardless of the reason, to me, it is horrible. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And the mother must feel awful, and the father too. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But this is a great book. Sharecropper's Wisdom, Growing Today's Leaders the Old-Fashioned Way. Black men are not given enough credit. Now, the mother, I agree, she gets a lot of credit because she carries the baby and births her. But the father the black man doesn't get a whole lot of credit. He's either portrayed as a deadbeat. And that's not always true, because I know men. I have brothers who are there. I had a stepfather who was there. They're not all absent. I have a brother that's in his early 30s. He has a PhD. I have another brother who has a 4.0 at college.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister who works in law enforcement with the state. She's not a correction officer, but not a police officer, but she still carries a badge and a gun. Her husband was the first, I believe, the first black assistant state attorney here in the county that I live in, if I'm not mistaken about that. And my sister, I know for certain, was the first black female secretary at the sheriff's department. And they worked their way up to being an investigator for the state of Florida but the office was here in Washington County, where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to say that. What I'm saying is there are positive role models out there. I have a daughter who finished with a bachelor's degree and got married in December. She started off, as a teenage mom. But it's not always where you start off at. It's where you end up at. I'm not advocating for young women to go out and get pregnant.
Right.
Before they graduate, even without a husband. What I'm saying is, those of you who already are, it can be did, but that is not the way you should want to go. But once again, it doesn't always matter where you start at. He's talking about sharecropping. My grandfather was a sharecropper. My grandmother was one. My great-grandfather was a slave and a sharecropper, and he my great granddaddy, my uncle went into the military and fought during the Vietnam War. So what I'm telling you is there are good people out there. There are strong people. Everybody's not bad. There are good black people there. There are good white people. You just have to, General Gorham was saying early, who you hang with is who you will end up being or become. So he changed.
Absolutely.
He hanged around. Now, just because this is 2017 does not mean that isn't true today. I hate to say it. Some people just aren't going to do right. I'm sorry, but they're not. Everybody's not going to do right. I don't know why, but they don't, especially in today's age with things the way they are.